It's been more than 150 years since the question of whether or not to tax church property has been seriously debated in this country. But now a ballot initiative in Colorado has challenged the understanding that churches and other nonprofit organizations deserve tax exemptions because of the good they do for society. Voters in Colorado will decide in November if they want to force religious and other nonprofit organizations to start paying property tax. As NPR's John Burnett reports, the state's nonprofit organizations are outraged and worried.
In 1875, President Ulysses S. Grant, in a message to Congress, warned that if the evil of churches acquiring vast amounts of untaxed properties were allowed to continue, it will lead to great trouble in our land. Grant's prediction has finally come to pass in the view of John Patrick Michael Murphy. Murphy is a wealthy 50-year-old trial lawyer from Colorado Springs. Irish, if you hadn't guessed already. He favors cowboy clothes and fancy boots and wears his silver mustache thick. Last February, Murphy shocked the state by collecting enough signatures to get a proposed constitutional amendment on the ballot in November. If Murphy's law passes, as it's called, Colorado will become the only state in the nation to tax church property. Every weekend, Murphy drives a customized GMC motorhome, he calls Freddy, to small towns throughout the state.
And what I do is I've got the signs back there, and I pull into a community, and I open up the windows, but I keep the curtains down, and I play Irish music like this.
He then begins to preach the anti-gospel according to John Murphy, which sounds a lot like the slogans painted on Freddy, such as, God isn't broke, and charity begins at home. Murphy sits inside his motorhome and reflects on the growing number of nonprofits registering in Colorado.
When they came here, they needed schools. They needed fire protection. They needed police protection. They needed more roads, more sewers, more infrastructure. And they don't pay any taxes.
John Murphy doesn't have a lot of use for religion, or religionists, as he calls them. Though he now considers himself a deist, Murphy was raised Roman Catholic, and he attended Catholic schools all the way through college. He fell out with the church in part because of an incident he says happened to him when he was 7 years old. He was sexually molested by a priest. Yet Murphy insists his amendment is not an attempt to settle scores with his old church. Instead, his activism is directed at the newer, well-funded conservative Christian organizations that have clustered in his hometown in recent years.
In Colorado Springs, we're the Vatican of the religious right. We have 80 or 90 religious organizations that are either nationwide or worldwide in scope that make Colorado Springs their headquarters. And that's fine. They're welcome. But you know what they're telling us? Unless we believe in what they cannot prove, we're not good people.
Murphy's favorite target is Focus on the Family, an international evangelical ministry headquartered in a palatial complex on a hilltop north of Colorado Springs. Its income in 1993 was $88 million. Walking through the 47-acre complex, it's clear the organization has been, in its words, richly blessed. The impressive visitor center houses computer games for children, a bookstore, an ice cream parlor, and a large multimedia gallery with samples of kids' videos that it sells around the world. Ken Roth, manager of guest relations, says the organization prefers to stay out of the limelight in regards to Murphy's Law, known officially as Amendment 11. But he said this about the threat of Focus on the Family losing its tax-exempt status.
It would take away resources from the very purpose and function of the ministry, which would be namely the promotion of family values, the spread of the word of Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's as simple as that.
Amendment 11 would tax not only churches. It would repeal the tax exemptions of soup kitchens, art museums, hospices, campgrounds, zoos, YMCAs, and boys' clubs, to name a few. The only nonprofits that would be spared would be schools, correction facilities, and housing for people in need. One of the most common criticisms of Murphy's Law is that his list is a hodgepodge. Barry Lynn, director of Americans United for the Separation of Church and State in Washington, D.C., says he respects Murphy for championing this issue, but he believes the amendment, as written, is defective and unsupportable.
It has an odd collection of exemptions. It, for example, says that you can't be tax exempt if you are a church, but if you're running a religious school a half block away, you're able to retain your tax exemption. I mean, it simply has so many distinctions that make no sense whatsoever.
Virtually the entire state political establishment, including the two major newspapers, have come out against Amendment 11. But the voters are more sympathetic. In the latest poll, about 4 out of 10 Coloradoans support Murphy's Law. Observers point to two main reasons. First, some people see the proposed amendment as a way to get back at the evangelical groups that have worked against homosexual rights and for textbook censorship. And second, many people think they'll get a tax break if the nonprofits start paying their fair share, which the tax office estimates at $70 million. That expectation is wrong, state officials say, because under Colorado's twisted tax law, businesses, not citizens, would reap the savings. But that fact doesn't deter Jackie Marquis, a volunteer from Colorado Springs who was handing out flyers in downtown Denver.
I'm basically one of those angry taxpayers that is sick and tired of being hit on for one tax or another. And it's just grossly unfair that you've got so much of a growing segment in the nonprofits and churches and things like that that are very profitable and they don't pay one red cent.
The popularity of Murphy's Law took Colorado's 10,000 nonprofits by surprise. They've orchestrated a counterattack, urging Coloradoans to look beyond the dollars and cents of tax exemptions. Pat Reed is director of the Colorado Association of Nonprofit Organizations.
We use a tax credit, a tax exemption, to say this is valuable to our community and we support it. When you remove the tax exemption, you're essentially saying, we don't care. If a few individuals want to give their wealth or contribute their own money, that's okay, but it's not really important to our community.
The battle over Amendment 11 has stirred up old ambivalences toward houses of worship. Driving past St. John's Episcopal Cathedral in downtown Denver, one hears the majestic pipe organ and sees the soaring Anglican architecture. And some people wonder what this opulence is all for. Bishop Jerry Winterode, head of Colorado's Episcopal Diocese, says he's not surprised in this day and age that Murphy's Law has gotten as far as it has.
And even if this amendment is defeated, I don't think it's over. I think Colorado is probably the first of many states that will have to face up to this issue. And we used to think the church had a secure place in the culture, but now we talk about the postmodern era where that it certainly is not true. A large part of the American culture is unchurched, and a substantial portion of that culture have a very negative attitude about the church.
Opponents of Amendment 11 say the initiative would not necessarily bankrupt organizations such as the Episcopal Church or Focus on the Family or the Denver Museum of Natural History. They would find a way to pay their property taxes. But the nonprofits say it would jeopardize the existence of hundreds of small community projects such as the St. Francis Center. At this day shelter in downtown Denver, which is partially funded by the Episcopal Diocese, the homeless can shower, receive mail, look for jobs, get clothing, or simply leave the streets for a few hours. There's nothing else like it in the city, and director Tom Lures says Murphy's Law would penalize them.
It could be pretty devastating to our whole operation here, which would mean we might have to cut down the number of hours, the number of staff, the number of services that we offer, which could put a lot more people out on the streets during the day.
That some nonprofits give back to the community is hard to argue, but Amendment 11 has raised questions about other nonprofits whose charitable efforts are much harder to see. Consider, for example, the not-for-profit hospital that owns non-taxed office buildings full of private doctors. Consider the untaxed church daycare center, whose operation is nearly identical to for-profit daycare centers. and consider the fraternal lodges. Former Colorado Property Tax Administrator Marianne Maurer recalls one case in which a fraternal organization sought an exemption for a property which included dining rooms, a golf course, tennis courts, and a swimming pool.
And their argument to us was, you know, we attract the members by having the country club facilities. We need the meeting rooms in order to plan these activities. And the fact that we only contribute $3,000 a year to charity should not detract from the property tax exemption from the $3 million property.
And did you buy that?
No, but the legislature did. And they changed the law and granted exemption to the fraternal groups.
Chris Paulson is a former Colorado state representative and now a lobbyist. He's currently leading the effort by Colorado nonprofits to derail Amendment 11.
I don't disagree with that philosophically. We want to keep this from being abused. That's fine. But the point is, when you have an amendment to the Constitution that wipes everything out with a meat axe, that's not the way to fine-tune the law. Why on earth would any rational person, if they sat down and looked at the way society is structured, unless they had some kind of vindictive mean streak, why would they go about trying to change the system without having something to replace it first?
And here's another question. Isn't it an awkward time to begin taxing churches just as the federal government is cutting social spending and asking private charities to do more? John Murphy responds.
I don't accept your premise that churches do good just because they're churches. And I'll hold up David Koresh and I'll hold up Mr. Jones just as examples, or that, who was that Jimmy Swaggart character, I have sinned, you know. I'll tell you that I won't accept that.
And with that, Murphy is off on another tirade against his favorite adversary. Amendment 11 is getting attention far beyond the Rocky Mountains. Cities across the country are looking for new sources of revenue as more taxpayers move to the suburbs. At the same time, the nonprofit sector has grown tremendously in the past two decades. One national organization that represents nonprofits says, unfortunately, the ground is fertile to copy the initiative elsewhere, even without John Patrick Michael Murphy behind the wheel. This is John Burnett reporting.